Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and Shana Tova, everyone. Now, you might not realize that, but this occasion, even though the name Rosh Hashanah is not mentioned in the scripture about these feasts that God had given Israel, yet the thought of a new beginning, of a new desire to restore oneself back to God is the desire that is existing in the hearts of our people Israel these days as they are preparing for the Day of Atonement for Yom HaKippurim. So today in our ministry meeting, I would like to share with you that which the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God teaches us concerning the Feast of Trumpets, which is among our own people today called Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. So turn to the book of Leviticus, and I would like to begin there today in our ministry meeting. Now again, beloved brothers and sisters, I want us to see today as we read the scripture that there is a different way whereby our people Israel, beginning on the first day of the month of Tishrei, when they will begin that unique feast that the Bible call it the Feast of Trumpets, and the rabbinical teachers of Israel call it Rosh Hashanah, you will see that the Jewish people celebrate this feast in a different way than the nations of the world celebrate the new year, December 31st and January the 1st, the new cycle of a new year in the calendar that is used today in the world around us. And it is important for us to learn that and to see that there is a reason why the people of Israel come together for a special reason as they are preparing themselves for the time when the Day of Atonement will come, and atonement has to be made for the nation of Israel by the Lord Himself. So Israel, the Jewish community, instead of celebrating with drinking and with partying and so on, this day of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpet, is a very solemn day, because Israel is preparing themselves for the time where God will, as a king, will evaluate their life, whether they will receive forgiveness of sins from the God of our fathers. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, is a very solemn feast. You notice that we just recited the Avinu Malkeinu, the prayer where Israel says, we have sinned, we have gone wrong. God, our Father and King, send the perfect healing to the sick among thy people, and then raise the strength of thy Messiah. Looking for forgiveness of sins, this Rosh Hashanah, this Feast of New Year, will begin in a very, very solemn way. So let me please begin by reading from Leviticus chapter 23, and the verses that I'm going to read is verse 1, verse 2, and then verses 23, 24, and 25. And so we read in Leviticus 23, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Then verse 23, this deal with the Feast of Trumpet, he said, and the Lord spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Shabbat, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work, therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And just put your finger here for a moment and turn with me to Numbers chapter 29. And there I would like to read the first 6 verses, especially in connection with the Feast of Trumpet. In verse 1, the Lord is speaking, and in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of the blowing of the trumpet. In Hebrew, Yom Teruah. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savour unto the Lord, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meal offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock and 2/10 deal for a ram, and 1/10 deal for 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs. And then he continues in verse 5 and he says, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you beside the burnt offering of the month and in the meal offering of the daily burnt offering and the meat offering and their drink offering according unto their manner for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. Please bear with me just 1 or 2 scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 27 with me right now. And there we have the 3rd passage that speak about the Feast of Trumpet. Isaiah chapter 27. And there I would like to read this verse that speak about the trumpet once again. Verse 12 and 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt. And ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast of the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And then one final verse, if you will, please, brothers and sisters, turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, we want to have a New Testament verse as well. And in Matthew chapter 24, I want to read just verses 29, 30, and 31. Here's the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, speaking of the tribulation period. And he says to them in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall give no light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And listen to this, verse 31, he shall send his angels with a great sound of the shofar, of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the 4 winds, from one end of heaven even unto the other. Now these are the main verses that I want to read, but I would like to emphasize today with respect to the Feast of Trumpets, what is the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, and why is it that it was so important to be part of the 7 feasts of the Lord? These 7 feasts, of course, are taken from one single chapter that is found in the law. That is the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. It is a famous chapter that many of those who teach the Word of God always make a reference to Leviticus chapter 23. And why it is, beloved brothers and sisters? Because in Leviticus chapter 23, long before Israel even entered into the promised land, while God was giving to Israel the law from Mount Sinai, He had given to our nation of old Israel 7 distinct feasts. In Hebrew, we call them Moadim. Moadim means appointed season. And these 7 feasts were to be celebrated every year, to be repeated once and again. The 1 year passes by, the next year passes by, the feast will be celebrated. The following year going to pass by, the very same cycle will be celebrated by the nation of Israel. And you might ask, as I might ask, God, why did you give Israel these feasts? What did you mean when you gave them these feasts? What you had in mind when you gave them these 7 feasts? So again, if you just look at those 7 feasts, we know very well that all these 7 feasts are being celebrated by Israel from generation to generation. 3,500 years pass by, and the people of Israel are still celebrating the Passover, Pesach, the unleavened bread, Chag HaMatzot, the first fruit, Chag HaKatzir, the Feast of Weeks, which is Shavuot, and then the Feast of Trumpets, which we are dealing with today. It's called Zikaron Truah, and of course the Day of Atonement, and then finally the Feast of Tabernacle, which is the Feast of Sukkot. Every year, without a stop, the cycle of the 7 feasts are being celebrated by the Jewish people. And you and I might ask the question, why did God give Israel these 7 feasts that are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23? Now, beloved brothers and sisters, God does not give something to His people by way of just repetition, just to do certain thing and to repeat it every year without any meaning. Obviously, there is a meaning to every feast that He had given to the people of Israel. In other words, God is saying to our fathers, listen, I want to have an appointment with you every time in that year cycle, and the feasts that I have given to you, they are a symbol, a picture of something that is yet to come. As you notice that, those feasts are divided. They are the spring feast in the beginning of the year, in the spring, and there are the fall feasts which happen in the fall season, like the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippurim, and of course the Feast of Tabernacle. There is the spring and the fall feast that God have given to the nation of Israel. Well, we know, and those of us that are coming to our meeting regularly know, that every one of these feasts represents something in the history of God as He is dealing with the nation of Israel. So, we know, and I'm just repeating it for the sake of context, Passover, of course, the lamb was taken. After the lamb was killed, the blood was shed and placed on the doorpost and the lintel. The lamb represents the Messiah that is going to come, and He will die one day, shed His precious blood in order to redeem a people to Himself, to redeem the nation of Israel. And lo, you and I know that in the fullness of time, Galatians 4 and verse 4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in order that He will redeem them which were under the law. So if Passover represents the coming of the Messiah as the Lamb of God, then we cannot notice that every feast that God had given in Leviticus chapter 23 represent an event or represent something in connection with Israel and the living God, the God of Israel, and that's how the cycle go on. Unleavened bread, the sinlessness of the Messiah. First fruit, the resurrection of the Messiah. Shavuot, weeks, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to unite Jew and Gentile together into one body. That all happened historically, and that is indeed happened in the spring. But we are now speaking about a feast that began in the fall season. And you notice by reading Leviticus chapter 23, the Lord is saying to Israel in verse 23, and I want you now to go back to this passage in Leviticus, because now it is no longer in the spring season. It is no longer in the first four feasts that God had given to Israel that had been fulfilled in the person of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, who came from heaven, who died for our redemption, who was sinless one, who rose from among the dead, and who sent the Holy Spirit of God to unite believers together. Now we are speaking about the four feasts of Israel, which began here in chapter 23 of Leviticus and verse 23, where the Lord said to Israel, now notice, it's no longer the spring season, but it is in a month of Tishrei. It's a little bit further on in the yearly cycle. He says, the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, and I'm reading verse 24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Shabbat, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Just pause here for a moment. You notice that this feast, the Feast of Trumpets, is given by the Lord to Israel. There is a date here. It is the seventh month, and it is the first day of the month. In other words, it is in a fall season. And it is the seventh month of the year, and God is saying to the people of Israel that on the first day of that 7 months, Israel is to blow the shofar. He doesn't tell them why. He doesn't give them a reason here. He just says, I want you to blow the shofar. And as the shofar is being blown, he says this will be a holy convocation. In Hebrew, Mikra Kodesh. You are calling all the nation of Israel together, and they should listen to this blowing of the shofar, which will alert them to something that is going to come to pass. No reason what it is for, except that in verse 24, to blow the trumpet, and in verse 25, no work to be done, and an offering had to be offered made by fire. Verses 24 and 25 of Leviticus chapter 23. And now, this is how we get to this feast of Rosh Hashanah, that the rabbis came about with this name, Rosh Hashanah, because they do not know why did God command our fathers to blow the shofar. Why did God command our fathers to have a holy convocation? Why did God command our fathers not to do any work? And why did he call it a special Shabbat? It's a holy convocation. And that's why over the generation came all these teachings that we have today. Because the rabbis or the spiritual leaders of Israel do believe. And they do teach over the generation that on that first day of the month of Tishrei, God is now as a king, sitting there and evaluating the life of his people and the life actually of all humanity. He's a crown king. He's there sitting as a crown king, and he's going now to evaluate how did you live your life in the last year. And in fact, they also teach that on this Rosh Hashanah, that's why it's called Rosh, head, Hashanah, the year, is the head of the year because creation had begun. God have created the universe on the first day of the month of Tishrei. They believe that Adam and Eve were created on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of the month of Tishrei. They also teach and believe that Abraham offered Isaac, his son, on that altar on Mount Moriah on the first day of the month of Tishrei. And therefore, it became a unique period of time in the history of our people. The shofar will be blown, and that will represent to awaken the conscience of the people of Israel, because soon, 10 days after, the Day of Atonement is coming, and God is going to seal whether that one person or another, he will continue to live for the next year. And that's why our people Israel, being taught by the spiritual leaders that God is opening three books, the book of the living and the book of the dead, and another book of all those who are inscribed there. And God eventually gonna place the name of this person either in the book of life or in the book of the dead. And that person, if God will judge him, he will not live for the following year. And that's why you notice in this time of Rosh Hashanah, there is many cards are being written. And in the card it says, may your name be inscribed in the book of the living. The wish, the desire that our name will be inscribed in the book of life. Because after all, will God forgive my sins? Will God accept my repentance? Will God raise up the people of Israel again? Will God have abundant mercy upon us and will inscribe us in the book of the living, in the book of life? And that's why, as we read today, our Father, our King, we have no king but thee, our Father, our King, deal with us kindly for the sake of thy name. Our Father, our King, renew for us a new year. Our Father, our King, we have sinned before thee. Our Father, our King, annul the plans of our enemies. Our Father, our King, remove pestilence and sword and famine and captivity and destruction, iniquity and persecution from thy people, the people of the covenant. Our Father, our King, bring us back in a perfect repentance unto thee, our Father, our King. Send the perfect healing to the sick among thy people, our Father, our King. Raise the strength of thy Messiah. The cry of the heart, beloved brothers and sisters of our own Jewish people, to receive forgiveness of sins from the God who created the universe, the King of the universe, who is now as a judge sitting and evaluating the life of every one that is living upon the face of the earth. Will his name be inscribed in the book of the dead, or will his name or her name will be inscribed in the book of the living? And so this is what developed, what we would call traditions and teachings over the years about this feast that is called the Feast of Trumpets. But as we read the scriptures, beloved brothers and sisters, you will notice again that in the four feasts that God had given Israel, namely the feast of the blowing of the trumpet, and then later on the Day of Atonement, and finally the dwelling in booths, the Feast of Sukkot, we learn, as we have learned from the previous feasts, that God has some sort of a plan and a program, and that it is not only for a yearly cycle of the people of Israel to celebrate, but it is a program and a plan that he has for Israel and for the whole world in relationship to his dealing with mankind. You see, after all, God is a king. After all, God is the creator of the universe. He created humanity for his pleasure, and he wants humanity to enjoy him for time and for eternity. And that's why he sent the Messiah to become our Passover lamb. That's why he sent the Messiah who had no leaven, no sin in him. That's why he raised the Messiah, the Feast of First Fruits, and he placed him at the pinnacle of the universe. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit of God to give us a new covenant, Brit Chadasha, and uniting Jew and Gentile in one body. And this is not the end, because we still have a future in the fall feasts, which represent the future events that are yet going to come. So I would like to just point to you today the importance of the Feast of Trumpets in relationship to the restoration of Israel back to the land, physical restoration, but also the removal of the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, the church, the ecclesia, out of this world before God is going to establish the Messianic kingdom and restore Israel back to himself. So as I read those verses, you notice, I read first of all Leviticus chapter 23. In verses 23, 24, and 25, the blowing of the trumpet, he called it a holy convocation. No work was to be done. It was a solemn day. Israel was to give themselves to the Lord. And then he said at the end of verse 25 of Leviticus 23, you should offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. In other words, even though you are to have this unique day, separate day from any other day, the Feast of Trumpet, one thing must be always provided, and that is offering and sacrifice on the altar. Blood had to be shed. Israel needed an atonement, and that's why I read Numbers chapter 29. There is a list of offerings that had to be provided. If you remember, there was a burnt offering, there was a meal offering, there was a sin offering. In other words, if Israel is going to be restored back to the Lord, blood had to be shed, animals had to be killed, and all these animals only pointed to the Mashiach, to the Messiah who would come. And so the Feast of Trumpets is called Yom Tu'ah, the day of the blowing of the trumpet, because it represents something that is going to happen in a future day. And the blowing of the trumpet is a representation of the regathering of the people back to the land, to the promised land. When you look today in the land of Israel, there are about 6.5-7 million Jewish people in the land. 2,000 years ago, when the Messiah came, who would believe that Israel will ever be restored to the land after the fact that the Romans killed over 1,100,000 Jewish people and scattered the Jewish people all over the world? And if you look back from our time, about 70 years ago, who would believe that Israel as a nation will ever be restored back to the land after 6 million were killed in Europe by the Nazis? When you look at the history of the people of Israel, who in the world will believe that one day a nation will be established in the land? But we can see how God planned it. He has sent the Messiah to die. The Messiah rose. He sent the Holy Spirit at the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot. The Holy Spirit united believers together. And then you notice these are the spring feasts. But we are arriving today to the fall feast, and he's speaking about a future event that are yet going to happen at the second coming of the Messiah. And so what does the blowing of the shofar mean? Why did God give to Israel, our people of old, the importance of blowing the shofar? And it is a memorial, it's a reminder that one day God is going to restore Israel back to himself and to bring them back into their own land. And so you remember I read Isaiah chapter 27. In Isaiah, he mentioned to Israel, before Israel were taken to Babylon, he says, Israel, Judah is saying to them, listen, even though I'm going to take you now to Babel, I'm going to discipline you, I'm going to judge you, yet I promise you that I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to bring you back to your own land from which I have scattered you. And so we read in Isaiah chapter 27, it said, it shall come to pass. In that day, he's looking to the future day, to the time when Israel as a nation will be gathered back to the promised land. And he said, the Lord will beat off from the channels of the river unto the stream of Egypt. And ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, the Feast of Trumpets represent the time that a shofar will be blown. And when your shofar is being blown, it will alert the conscience of the Jewish people to see the need to be restored to the land of the fathers. As we read in verse 13 of Isaiah 27, it shall come to pass in that day that a great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish. The Jewish people have been scattered throughout the world. One would have never believed that Israel will ever become a nation again. And in preparation for the future day, when Israel ultimately will be restored spiritually, first of all, God is going to regather them physically into the promised land. And it has always fascinated me. For example, in my case, when my grandfather immigrated to Israel in the late 1800s, one wondered why would he want to go back to the promised land? Or my grandmother, why would they go back to the promised land? What there is to do there in that land? It was not even a state in those days before 1948. And yet God had brought the people of Israel back to the promised land, as he mentioning here. Those last 2,000 years proven that even if the nation, as it were a nation that were ready to perish, yet God has a plan. And God has a program that he was going to restore the people of Israel back to the promised land. And why these beloved brothers and sisters? Because God is desiring one day to bring about a worldwide blessing. Look at the condition of the world in which we live in today. Look at the chaos that is going on in the world. This is not a world that wants God in their midst. This is not a world that can say, God, we want you to lead us, to rule over us. In fact, the world today said exactly what was said 2,000 years ago. We will have not this man to rule over us. Man is rejecting God, and yet God has a plan to bless this world, using the nation of Israel as a source of blessing to the world. And a great trumpet shall be blown, verse 13. And they shall come which were ready to perish, notice, in the land of Assyria and the outskirts of the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain, in the mountain of the city of Jerusalem. And so the promise of the restoration of the people of Israel back to the land is an important promise that is mentioned to us in the prophets of Israel. And now please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We read there as well today. And in Matthew chapter 24, later on in the history, the Messiah Jesus came. And when Yeshua came to this world, Yeshua himself wanted to show that eventually he came to die, he came to be buried and to rise again, but he has not done. Even though he died and he was buried and he rose again, he provided the work of redemption. Sin had been dealt with. But he didn't go outside of this world to leave the world to continue to be the way it is right now. He promised a restoration. He promised that he's going to bring about a restoration to Israel and to the nations of the world. And so he's promising that there is a day coming where there will be a terrible days here in this world, which we call it in Scripture, Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah, and in Matthew chapter 24, it's called the tribulation days. There are days coming, beloved brothers and sisters, where the world will go through a terrible days of trouble. And the reason it is because they rejected the Messiah. They rejected God's offer of salvation. So God is going to send tribulation. Nearly the whole book of Revelation, from chapter 6 to chapter 19, speaks about the tribulation period. This world will experience judgment that's going to come by the hand of the Lord. But He does so in order to ultimately restore people back to Himself. And so you notice, as I read also, beloved brothers and sisters, in Matthew chapter 24, and He's promising His coming. And He promised that He's going to come to this world eventually to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He's going to do it using the same 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, which describe the orders of the feast of the Lord. He first is going to call the nation of Israel back to the land. And the Feast of Trumpet once again is being used here in the Word of God. And so we read, listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters. It says here in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24, immediately after the tribulation. And you see, while here he's speaking about things that are going to happen after the tribulation, is because he's going to gather Israel first to the land before the tribulation, and he will be scattering them once again during the tribulation, where they will go through a terrible experience. But after the tribulation, notice that, after the tribulation of those days, that the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And then he continued, and he said in verse 29b, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall shake. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Notice, in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And again, here is the sound of the trumpet mentioned again. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heaven even unto the other. The gathering together of these elect of his. And you remember, beloved brothers and sisters, the context here of Matthew chapter 24, the elect has to do with the nation, the Jewish people, his chosen one in the context of Matthew chapter 24. When he's going to come and he's going to gather the nation of Israel back, and he's using once again the blowing of the shofar. Why does he again and again using the shofar in the presentation of the second coming of the Messiah? Because the blowing of the shofar in Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 25, 26, and 27 represent the time of Israel gathering back to the land in preparation of repenting and confessing their sins and ultimately restored to become a nation that is honor God and a testimony and a light to this world. So the angels will go, and the great sound of the trumpet will come, and they shall be gathered together. He will gather the elect from every wind, from the four winds of the heaven, even from one end of heaven to the other side. He will gather the people of Israel back to the land, because he is just about going to establish a promised kingdom which he had promised to the nation of Israel. And so many of the verses in Scripture will speak of the Feast of Trumpet in relationship to the Lord Jesus the Messiah's second coming, Israel restoring to the land. Their conscience will be awakened. They will realize that they have missed the Messiah for so many years. And eventually they will accept Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Israel, the King of the Jewish people. But beloved brothers and sisters, there is more to it. And I really want to say in relationship to you and I today, because you and I today are part of what we call the ecclesia, the assembly, the church. Notice Jewish, Gentiles are united together. Most of our people, Israel, are still not accepting the Messiah. They are going to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. They're going to begin Rosh Hashanah. They will ask for forgiveness of sins. And on the Day of Atonement, they will hope and pray that God will forgive their sins. But they don't accept the Messiah. They are still blinded to the fact that Yeshua, that Jesus, is the Messiah. So if the Feast of Trumpets speak about Israel's future regathering and Israel's future restoration to the land, how does that Feast of Trumpets relate to you and I? Because 2,000 years passed by, Yeshua the Messiah died, was buried, and rose. And here we have the message of the gospel of the grace of God is preached for 2,000 years. It began in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then it went beyond the borders of Israel to all the nations of the world. And you and I have accepted the Messiah today. You and I accepted Yeshua the Messiah, who had promised to us that one day He's going to come and to take the ecclesia, the church, to be taken to be with Him in heaven. And so how do we relate to the Feast of Trumpets in relationship to the body of Messiah, to the body of Christ? How does that fit for you and I today? Well, if it is speak of Israel's future restoration back to the land, and ultimately becoming a nation who accept the Messiah, where does it fit you and I? The promised land of Israel was promised to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people. How does that fit the believers in Jesus the Messiah today? Jewish and Gentiles who believe in Yeshua the Messiah. So the Apostle Paul, Shaul, was writing to the believers at Corinth, and to the believers in Thessalonica, that is very important. We cannot take it lightly. These instructions that was given by the Apostle Shaul Paul are important for believers to know today. If the Feast of Trumpets apply to Israel in a future day, that they will regather themselves to the land by the Lord and ultimately will accept the Messiah, well, what about you and I who are believers from Jew and Gentile today in the church age? How does that apply to us today? Those questions were asked by believers in a few other localities, like in Corinth and in the city of Thessalonica. So the Apostle Paul gave us the same thought, but applying the Feast of Trumpet not only to Israel, but applying it to the body of Messiah. And so the Feast of Trumpets, in addition to the fact that it is applied to Israel, the nation, and its restoration back to the land, the Apostle Paul gave us a beautiful picture of the Feast of Trumpets in relationship to the believers, those that belong to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So I would like to read to you a couple of texts here from the New Testament. And this time I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to follow with me. I'm just going to read these verses just for the encouragement of our hearts. Because after all, not too many Christians or believers have the privilege that you and I have to have Jewish and non-Jewish believers unite together. If you will travel around the world, most of the church or congregation or assemblies of believers, the vast majority, if not all of them, are all non-Jewish believers. And they ask the question, how do we understand the feasts of the Lord? How does that relate to us as believers? Is that speaking of Israel, the nation? And it's still indeed speaking of Israel. Well, what do we fit into this Feast of Trumpet? And so the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said to them in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, brethren, he says, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. He says to them, we shall not all sleep, But we shall all be changed. In a moment, notice what he says in the next verse, verse 52. And that is the verse that connects with the Feast of Trumpet. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and notice he says, at the last trump, the trumpet should sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put incorruption, and this mortal must put immortality. Just pause with me for a moment. Shaul, Paul, is answering the believers at Corinth to some question that they ask. What's going to happen with me, with a believer who dies? And what's going to happen to the body of a believer that have died? Is his body remain in a grave? Will he ever rise again? Will he have a change of his body, he or she that is? And the whole 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul deal with the resurrection. First of all, the resurrection of the Messiah, but also the resurrection of all those that have trusted in him. But they still had further questions. How is it going to happen? And so the Apostle Paul points in this chapter 15 to the change that will happen to our bodies, and then he gives us the answer to when it will happen. And so in verses 51, 52, and 53, he points to the change that will happen to the body of the believers, and he connects with these beloved brothers and sisters the Feast of Trumpet. And notice what he says in verse 51. I'm going to show you a mystery. We are not all going to sleep. In other words, we are not all going to die. Some have already died. But we are not all going to die, Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Now he must have waited for the rapture of the church, of the taking of the church, because he says we. He must have waited to the coming of the Lord to take the heavenly company to be with him. That's why he said, we shall not all sleep. And you know the word sleep, according to the Apostle Paul, is not the sleep that we go in through a night, a rest to sleep. But the point here in this verse 51, we shall not all die. Some died already. Others of our family died, friends died, believers in the local assembly, the local church at Corinth have died, and they're asking, what's going to happen? Are we also going to die, and what's going to happen after we die? And the Apostle Paul so graciously saying, no, brethren, we are not all going to die. We are not all going to die, but one thing is going to happen to all of us, whether we have died or whether we remain alive, we shall all be changed. What an amazing truth to learn here. This corruptible body, that in this body we have caused all kind of sins and have done all kind of wrong. These bodies that have been walking many times in our history in an evil way. God does not want this corruptible, this mortal man. God does not want this body of humiliation. If God is going to take the believers in Yeshua the Messiah to heaven, he will have to change it. He will have to give the believer a glorified body. A body that is suitable for the presence of the Lord. So he's saying to the Corinthian, I want to tell you a mystery. And I'm revealing to you a mystery. We are not all going to die. But one thing for sure, beloved brothers and sisters of Corinth, we shall all be changed. And you know it's so precious. Because can you imagine in these bodies, we have done all the evil things that are existing here in this world. We dishonored the Lord. We use our eyes in a wrong way. We use our mouth to say things that are not right. We use our ears to listen to things that we shouldn't listen. We use any member of our body, to our feet to go into a wrong places, our hands to do things that we shouldn't have done. God does not need this body and his body that have sinned against him. So Paul is saying, look, brothers and sisters, we are going to change. There will be a change that's going to happen to you. And this body is also sick and diseased, and all the pain and the sorrow that existed here in this body of ours today, beloved brothers and sisters. So Paul says, no. We are all going to change. The one that died already, that have fallen asleep, the believers, they will change. The one who will remain alive until the coming of the Lord, they will be changed. Their bodies will be a suitable body for the presence of the Lord. And so in verse 52, here's the verse. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, he connects this of the change and the snatching of God's people, the removal of them, with the Feast of Trumpets. And so he says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now please listen to me for a moment. You notice what he says here in this passage? The changing of the body of the believer will happen in a moment. And you want to get a shorter time, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Not even in a winking of an eye, but in the twinkling of an eye. A very immediate, a moment, a second, a mini second that is going to happen. But then he says, at the last trump. Now many people took this verse to say the last trump, and they read that verse at the last trump, and then they went to the book of Revelation from chapter 8, 9, and 10, and 11, and they read of the last trumpet of Revelation. They say, oh, you see? This means of the last trump of the book of Revelation, where the trumpet shall be sound, and the seven trumpets of God and the judgment will come. That means that we are staying here for the tribulation period. But let me tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, that when John received the book of Revelation, he wrote that information, he received that information many, many years after the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it was about 60 AD. And when John received the book of Revelation with the information about the seven trumpets of God that will be sounded about 95 AD. It's around 35 years in between. Paul never knew what John received later on in 95 AD. Paul has a direct reference to the Feast of Trumpet. To the time that you notice here, the Feast of Trumpet, that will be sound, and in relationship to the assembly, to the ecclesia, it is in connection with the change of the body. The resurrection and the change of the people of God to be removed out of here and to be taken to the presence of the Lord. And that's why he says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the shofar will be blown, and the dead shall be raised. It has to do with the resurrection. But the people who will raise are only the believers, and they're going to be raised incorruptible. And we shall all change. Now, why to change? So we can live here in the very same corrupted world? Are we going to stay here to continue on to live a life of dishonor to the Lord? No. We are going to be changed in order to be removed out of this scene, to be in the presence of the Lord and never anymore to dishonor him with this body of humiliation. And that's why he said in verse 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. God is going to have the redeemed company change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trump shall be sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we all shall be changed. And in order to be changed, and the reason to be changed is in order to be removed out of here, to be in the presence of the Lord. And the Feast of Trumpets is indicating, on the one hand, the physical restoration of Israel to the land, which will begin the tribulation period. But we, the believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, today, in the body of Messiah, are going to be taken out of here at the rapture or the snatching up of the assembly. Now, one more verse, please. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to conclude with this short passage for us all. Here is what's going to happen in accordance with the Apostle Paul's writing. He wrote to the Corinthian, and now he's writing also to the Thessalonian. To the Thessalonian, they also had a problem with the question of what's going to happen to those who died. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, Paul used the trumpet again. Why does he use again and again the shofar, the blowing of the shofar? He's using this in order to point us to the fact that the blowing of the shofar did not only speak about Israel's physical restoration to the land, but it also speaking the removal of the church out of this world before the beginning of the tribulation period. So the Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fallen asleep, that ye sow not, even as others which have no hope. And he continues, that if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will God bring with him. Verse 15, and this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep, those that died already, believers who died. And here's the steps in verse 16 and 17, Paul presents the order of the removal of the believers as the trumpet is being sound. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, notice, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ, the dead in Mashiach, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, here we see another promise to another assembly, another congregation. This time it's not Corinth, but it is Thessalonica, Saloniki. To the Thessalonian, he explained, he gave them, in addition to what he have already written to the Corinthians, there in Thessalonica, he tells them once again that the reason that the body must be raised and changed is in order that the believers will be removed out of this scene to meet the Lord in the air. And so he's saying to them, if you believe that Yeshua, Jesus, died and that he rose again, so them also which sleep in Jesus, in Yeshua, God is going to bring with them. And then he continues and he says, I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep, because the Lord himself shall gonna come from heaven, he's gonna descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The shofar will be blown, and the Lord Jesus the Messiah gonna come to meet his people. This is the church this time. He doesn't speak here about the second coming. He's going to meet the heavenly company to be with him in the air, and so to remove the people of God into the presence of the Father's house And then, beloved brothers and sisters, the tribulation day will begin. Then there will be those 7 years of terrible days here upon the face of this earth. And Israel, our nation, will have to go through this time, what is called the Day of Atonement. We're going to speak about it next week. And eventually, at the end of the 7 year of tribulation, Israel will come to faith in Yeshua the Messiah. They will look upon Him. They will look upon Me whom they have pierced, as Zechariah the prophet is speaking about in his own prophecy. So what did we learn today? We have learned that the Feast of Trumpet was a yearly feast to be celebrated by the people of Israel every year. We also learned that the Feast of Trumpet was not in the beginning of the year, but in the seventh month, in the fall season. We learned that the Feast of Trumpet was an instruction by God for the people of Israel to blow the shofar, but He never gave any reason. Why do you need to blow the shofar specifically on that Feast of Trumpet? Because of this, over the generation, our people Israel developed many traditions. And one of the traditions was that God created the universe on the first day of the month of Tishrei, on the Feast of Trumpet. Another one is that God sitting as a king and is judging all the world, and everyone will pass before Him, will wish that his sins will be forgiven and that His name will be inscribed in the Book of Life. We also learn that the Feast of Trumpet represent the physical regathering of the people of Israel back to the Promised Land. And finally, we learn that the Feast of Trumpet speaks of the removal of the assembly, of the ecclesia, of the church out of this world, that the bodies will be raised of the believers, and all will be changed, and at the sound of the shofar, we will be taken out of here into the presence of the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, as 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17 says. And you and I as believers today are to be extremely thankful that as far as we are concerned, our sins have been dealt with already. We have accepted the Messiah already. But as for our people are going to go to the synagogues. They're going to cry, Avinu Malkeinu, forgive us our sins. Remove pestilence and sword and famine and captivity from us. Forgive our sins. And unfortunately, we know very well that sins can only be forgiven on a basis of the finished work of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And even though they would cry and repent, our prayer is that God will open their hearts and that they will recognize that the Messiah is Yeshua, Jesus, and that He is the one that died on their behalf, and He is the one that longed to have them restored back to Himself. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, just in closing, may the Lord help us to pray for Israel, to pray for our nation Israel, and that they will ultimately come to acknowledge that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. So the shofar will awaken their conscience to know that Jesus, the Messiah, has come. Now, before I'm closing the meeting in prayer, we're going to have the sound of the shofar one more time that we all can hear, and it will remind us of the necessity for us to pray for Israel, our people, who will hear the shofar blowing these days, and may the Lord help them to repent and turn themselves to Him. Let's listen to the blowing of the shofar. Amen. Our God and our Father, as we listen to the sound of the shofar, and as we have read from the Word of God of the meaning of the Feast of Trumpet, we thank You so much that we today can be occupied with the promises that You have given us in the Word. We know that one day, Abba Father, you will restore the people of Israel to the land in anticipation of restoring them back to thyself. We also read that it's speaking to us about the snatching of the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, the rapture of the church. And we thank you so much that that is the promise that we have in your word as well today. And so, Abba Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word and the fact that whatever we have heard will bring honor to thee and blessing to your people. We ask it all in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.